Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, last week we started talking about seeking the will of the Lord, and we looked at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, where Jesus told us to take heed, to beware of our seeking and our asking and our knocking, because in all of that, we may get an answer that is not from the Lord, and then get over into presumption or thinking that we are hearing from the Lord, but we're not. But even worse than that, we could just plainly just get off track. And my friend, if you knock, now listen, if you seek, and if you ask, you will get an answer. Take heed, my friend. Now, even after we give our lives to Christ, God would have us seek Him, not for the things, but for the seeking of getting to know Him. Let me say that again. This is very important here. Even after we give our lives to Christ, God would have us seek Him, not for the things, but for the seeking of getting to know Him. The fact that He, that would be God, wants us to seek Him and His will ought to prove to us several things. Well, the first thing it proves is God never imposes His will upon us. Now, to be honest, sometimes I wish He would, but no, He does not. He wants our will to be His will. And that only happens when we can discover His will, have it be from what we would say that the bad and the good things are in our thinking, and then we select it with all that is within us. And second, unless we seek God's will, we will never have God's will. This means then we are operating, believe it or not, even in Christian things, in our own will. The exaltation to seek God's will for our life puts a certain amount of responsibility upon us. Now, please do not misunderstand me here. To seek the will of God does not mean to figure it out. Oh, no. And it does not mean to we drag it down from heaven. You know, predicated upon God's exaltation to us to seek His will is the promise that God wants us to find His will more than we want to seek it. So this is not a matter of us twisting God's arm. Oh, no. It is a matter of us opening up ourselves to what God already wants to do, and more importantly, what God is doing presently in our lives. Now, for most Christians and even some believers I know, this is a shock, but more important, it is a huge revelation to them. Now, notice the conditional aspects of our asking and our knocking and our seeking God for His will, as related in the Bible. Again, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. And notice James 4, 2 and 3. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. James 4, verses 2 and 3. Now, before proceeding, we need to make sure we do not misunderstand here. God is not leaving it up to us to figure out what to ask for. Oh, no. In other words, there is no need to fear that because I do not know what to ask or what to seek for, that I will miss out or ask amiss. There is no need to think that unless we are smart enough to know what to ask of God, that we will never receive it. Can you imagine God saying, oops, I did not consider the possibility that someone would not know my will, or I did not make room for the possibility that someone would not have it all figured out yet. No, God is God and we are not. God knows. He knows all about our struggles. He simply tells us to ask and to seek and to knock, but be careful in our asking. But He knows our frame. He knows us. He knows all about us on whatever level that we make our approach to Him. So, what does this mean practically? It means that when it is all said and done, God wants us to seek Him. Not so much what He wants of us or what He wants us to do, but just to seek Him. Thus, all we need to do is just surrender ourselves totally as we can on whatever level that we are making our approach to Him in any given situation. Now, I can tell God that I do not know His will or what to ask for, but that whatever it is, I want Him. I want Him to reveal that to me, to reveal that work into my life. That this is real asking, this is real seeking, and then this is real knocking, my friends. You know, the Bible verifies this. In Romans 8:25-27, Brother Paul writes, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself," notice, "the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In verse 27, "And He that searches the heart," oh yes, He does, "knows all," knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8:25-27. Now, there are two words here in these verses that we must closely look at real fast to get the right context. The first word in verse 26 is pray. Now, it is not a prayer like praying for the sick or even over our food, but it is the word beseech, number Greek 1189, which means a quick address or a quick request. Like in Luke 22:31-32, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold," that word "behold" there means stop, look, and listen. "Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed," or beseeched you, "for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Luke 22:31-32. Now, we really do not believe that Jesus prayed for Peter, because if He did, then do we believe that Jesus' prayer failed? Of course not. It was a beseeching. It was a beseeching to the Father, a quick address or a quick request. And we know at that time Peter's faith did fail, but not when it really, really counted, though. The question I would have from these verses is, what was Jesus saying about Peter when you are converted? Wow. Well, anyways, I will leave that alone. The other word is infirmities, and that's a number Greek 769, which means an inability. Paul here is promising that no matter what our ability or our inability in prayer is, that simply turning to God in prayer is enough. What we lack, the Spirit will make up. Let me say that again. What we lack, the Spirit makes up. My friend, God knows our heart. He knows all about us. He looks at our heart and not so much at our words or our lack of words. Yes, He does. You know, some of my best prayers have no words. Let me say that again. Some of my best prayers have no words. Have you ever prayed like, "Ah!" Have you ever been there before? You know, God wants us to seek Him for His will and to seek Him. The promise of Jesus is that if we will seek Him, we will find Him. Yes, if we seek Him, we will find Him, and we will find His will. We will find Him, and we will find His will. Not some of the time, but all of the time. All of the time. In Jeremiah 29:13, we read, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search with all of your heart. Wow, with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Next week, more on seeking the will of God as we look at finding God. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week to come, and this ministry of the Word is just helping you and enlarging you in your walk with the Lord and helping you to find the Lord in a greater way. God bless. Talk to you next week. Amen.